الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم محمد رسول الله صدق الله العظيم. I have just recited one sentence of the ayat Muhammadur Rasulullah وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ وَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. It's a long ayat. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When a country is considered to be a superpower, although there is no such superpowers in the world, no matter how loud a claim they make that they are superpowers, but they are dependent on all the other small powers to make them super. When they want to attack a country, they require a coalition of forces. When they wanted to attack Afghanistan, look at the number of countries that had to join and participate and provide logistical support. Then they were able to attack a country which didn't even have much arms and ammunition and no bombs and nothing. So what kind of superpower is that? So there is no superpower in reality. The superpower is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. However, in our understanding, even if we believe that there is some superpower, so then when they have to send some ambassador to another country, then that ambassador also is given a welcome. He is given accommodation, he is given the facilities and the recognition that should be given to the ambassador of a superpower or of a big country, of a large nation. If an American ambassador comes to South Africa, or from Britain he comes down, or from France, or one of these countries which people in these times consider to be some kind of powers. So then the welcome that is given to them, the one that goes to fetch them at the airport, it's not the same as somebody just coming from some small little African state, or Bangladesh, or some other very poor country. They don't give them that same recognition. So if the ambassadors of countries which are considered to be superpowers are given that kind of recognition, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the ambassador of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, with all his might and power and kingdoms, he appointed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the last and the final messenger. So how much more azmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should be in the hearts? If we have a policeman, when we go to Saudi Arabia, we go to other parts of the world, sometimes those policemen, if you have to look at them, they look like small lighties, as they say. When you hear the children talking, they say, this policeman is looking like a lightie. But that policeman has undergone his training and everything, but he is appointed. Now, if that person who is standing in the middle of the road directing traffic has to say stop. Now this person who is well built and is a wrestler or is a world class boxer, now he says that that person I can give him one punch and he'll flatten me. Why must I listen to him? And he goes past. Then what will happen? This person will just summon backup and support, and the whole government comes to his assistance. He may be looking very tiny, but he knows that there's a whole government behind me. All the Justice Department is behind me, and the forces are behind me, and the police are, and the military, everything, anything that is required for that occasion, it is behind me. So we obey that policeman, because he has got a government behind him. The Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, they have Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's support with them. When they invite towards the deen of Allah ta'ala, they know that Allah ta'ala is with us. So they go on inviting. The people now will torture, persecute, they will say what they want, but they know that Allah ta'ala's help and madad and nusrat will come. And it comes. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala flattens those people. So Nabi alayhi salatu was-salam is a messenger of Allah, so there is a great meaning in it. That he does not say anything out of his own whim and fancy. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Does not say anything of his own accord, whatever it is revelation that has come to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It is wahi that was coming to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So and wahi was from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's support was with him. Therefore, within a short period of time, we know that Islam spread throughout Arabia. And then in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, they ruled over more than 2/3 of the then known world. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his resting place being in Madina Tayyiba, it is the desire in every Muslim's heart to pass away in Madina Sharif. And if the desire is not there, then he must create the desire. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said that if it is possible for a person, I'm giving the meaning of that mafhum of that hadith sharif, that if it is possible for a person to pass away in Madina Sharif, then he should do so. Now what does that mean? That means that if the conditions can are suitable to go and settle there and then spend the rest of the life there, then the person should do so. Of course, for the purpose of propagation of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they spread throughout the world. And even today, our akabir, our elders, they say that it is better that when you are fit, healthy and young, and you still have got strength in your body, then in whichever country you are, wherever you are doing some service to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then continue with that. Because if everybody is going to leave and come away to Madina Sharif and settle there and then do nothing except read Salat Salam, which is of course a very, very great and significant ibadat. But then if he's not going to be getting the opportunity of doing anything else, so then what is going to happen to the deen around the world? If all those people who have got knowledge, they've got the capability, they have got the wisdom, they have got the ability to invite towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with wisdom. Udhu ila sabila rabbik bil hikma wal maw'izatil hasana wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Now all that, if the person has got, like all of them are going to just come away there, then what's going to happen? So for the sake of the propagation of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those sahabas who were so beloved to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself would have desired that they remain there with him, but they spread out. But then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, for weak ones like us who are going to come in the latter part close to Qiyamah, then he says if the person has the capacity to come to Madina Sharif and pass away here, then he should do so. Just like Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Oh, you believers, as Allah ta'ala should be feared. Khawf of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That He is so kind, He has blessed us with so much of ni'mats. Then we should not displease Him, because Allah ta'ala has the power to pull the carpet from beneath our feet. Allah ta'ala has got the power to snatch away those ni'mats. So why should we displease that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? We should have the khawf of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's azab. But in reality, we should be doing everything because of the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala. He is so kind, so merciful. He has blessed us with so much of ni'mats. So we should have that amount of love, that we do it out of love. But if not, then at least out of fear of the azab of Allah ta'ala. And then, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except in a state of Islam. That if you leave this world, we must leave this world as Muslim. The one who has totally submitted himself to the will and the desire of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So just as we are there told that we must die as Muslim, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that if you want to die, if you have the capacity, if you have the means, if you have the situation is suitable, then come to Madina Sharif and pass away there. That's what he's saying. So I just mentioned that our elders, our Kabir, they said that that should be towards the latter part of our lives. When we are in our 60s, 70s. But in the times of fitnas that we are living, we know that how limited our work is when it comes to deen. And how weak our deeni knowledge is, and how weak and deficient is our amal. And how we just blow away with the breeze. A little breeze of sins and it blows us away. Breeze of temptations and we are blown away. Again, that example comes to mind. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala just puts it on the right occasion. And it fits in with what I'm saying. That in spring, if you go to the park. So one day we went after Fajr to the park to breathe in the oxygen. So there on the ground, it was like a carpet of flowers. Because of the strong breeze, strong wind that blew at night, all the flowers that were there on the tree, most of them came down on the ground. And now those flowers, what we were doing, walking over those flowers. It was as if we were crushing those flowers, the heart of those flowers. So I explained to the friends that were with me. I said, look at these flowers, how beautiful, red, blue, violet, all colors. And what fragrance they must have had. But when that wind blew and they left those branches, they came down onto the ground. Now everyone that is walking is trampling those flowers. He's trampling those flowers and is crushing those flowers. So the Muslim was that flower. Fragrant flower. Whilst he was on the tree of Iman, and he had that fragrance of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then people used to come near that tree and inhale the fragrance. Say, what a beautiful fragrance! Apna dil muattar karte the. But when they left that position and came onto the ground, because of that breeze that blew. So what happened? Everybody is trampling. And after a little while, that gardener will come, he'll sweep, he'll put them in bin bags or garbage bags, and it'll turn into fertilizer. So the Muslim was that flower until he was there on the branch of Iman. And when he had the akhlaq and the fragrance of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq. But when he left that tree and came onto the ground, so now sometimes the Jews are trampling, sometimes the British, sometimes the Americans, sometimes other forces. Everywhere the only thing we hear, Muslims are being trampled, trampled, trampled. So what is our duty? Get back onto that branch. This is what is happening. So knowing our weakness, our deficiency, the desire should be there to settle in Madina Sharif. But then what happens is that when the time is coming ripe for people to be allowed into Madina Sharif, Makkah Sharif for settling, the time is coming, as Hazrat Maulana Badr-e Alam Rahmatullah Alayh indicated. I was going to read the poetry of Hazrat Maulana Badr-e Alam Rahmatullah Alayh, the advices and nasihats that he gave to the people, what they should be doing. And by the way, Hazrat Maulana Badr-e Alam Rahmatullah Alayh was one of those people whose grave was dug up 3 or 4 times. After a couple years, few years, they digged up the grave in Madina Sharif to bury somebody else in there. But every time they dug up the grave, they found his body as is. His coffin wasn't touched, his body was the same. So such type of graves, then they should just put a white stone there. So people gave different reasons why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him with this status. Why Allah ta'ala blessed him with this status? But Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, one of the other Buzrugs, he said that Hazrat Maulana Badr-e Alam Rahmatullah Alayh, one of his distinguishing characteristic, one amal of his which was very, very conspicuous, was that even when he was sick and he was lying down on the bed, if he was informed that on the leg side a hafiz of the Quran Sharif has come, even a little child, then he used to pull his feet back. Even a little child, hafiz of the Quran Sharif, if he came on the leg side, Maulana Badr-e Alam Rahmatullah Alayh used to pull his feet back. He used to say that child has got the Quran Sharif in his heart, so I cannot stretch my legs towards that. Now that was not necessary, it was not farz, wajib or anything. Adab is a different thing. The masail are different. The adab is something that makes a person go high. Now we won't make that a mas'ala. It is permissible. But the adab of the Quran Sharif is to pull his feet back. To say Allah Ta'ala gave him that kind of izzat because he showed such izzat for the Quran Sharif. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh, he never wore shoes in Madina Sharif. He always walked bare feet. Now all of us wear shoes and walk there. So will we say that it's not permissible to wear shoes? He never used the toilet. He went right out by the mountain side. Because he said, what if I am using the toilet where at some time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walked there? It was an open ground and now they've built up a hotel and there's a toilet there. Now will we say all those who are going for Hajj must not use the toilets in the hotels? So we have to understand, one is mas'ala, a ruling of Sharia, and the other is adab, which is a condition of, we may term as a hal of a person. But that hal must be sincere, it must not be just make-up hal. Now somebody reads that, now he hasn't got that hal and condition, and then he says, no, I'm not going to wear shoes, as what happened once. One person was proclaiming great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those days when cigarettes were allowed. So he used to walk without shoes to the Haram Sharif from his hotel. And then I saw him myself smoking in the gullies of Madina Sharif. Now was there adab? So we must not make false claims. So Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh did not walk with shoes. But anywhere is it written that he told his shagirds and his students that it is haram or forbidden, or all of you also must take your shoes off. He didn't say that. Because they knew where to keep that level. So adab is a different thing. I was talking about Maulana Badr-e Alam Rahmatullah Alayh and his poetry, which we'll discuss inshallah. If the time expires tonight, then next week inshallah. But this desire to pass away in Madina Sharif was in the hearts of everybody. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh himself, he did not leave Madina Sharif except once. And that too because there's a very strong desire to go for Umrah. It is reported that once in that wondering whether he is going to pass away en route or what, he does not know, but he wants to go for Umrah. So in that anxiety he went off to sleep. And I discussed this many times in some other majalis too. So in the dream he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asks Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that how long am I going to live, because I want to go for Umrah and then come back to Madina Sharif, and my heart desire is to pass away in Madina Sharif. So I want to know how long am I going to live. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the dream did not give him any verbal answer. All he did was raise his hands like that, palm of his hand he raised, that's all. And Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi's dream ended. Now this became even more worrying, and that 5 meant what? 5 minutes, 5 seconds, 5 years, what did it mean? 5 hours. So Hazrat Ibn Sirin Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was a very great interpreter of dreams, so he sent his khadim to him to go and ask about this dream. And must not mention the name, must not say Imam Malik saw the dream. But Ibn Sirin Rahmatullah Alayhi said there's nobody else that could have seen this dream except Imam Malik Rahmatullah. He just knew that it is only he that could have seen this dream. So the person admitted, yes. So he said, what it means is that you are a very learned person, you are a great scholar of Hadith Sharif and Quran Sharif. So you know the Quran Sharif says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إن الله عليم خبير. 5 things, the knowledge of which only Allah Tabaraka wa Taala has. The knowledge of the hour, Qiyamah day, exactly which day. Rainfall, I've explained this many times, not just that it's going to rain after looking at the clouds. The person says, there's a possibility of rain. We're not discussing that. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has the detailed knowledge of that rain. How much of rain will fall, where it will fall, how much of damage it will do. Like look at the floods, how much of damage it is doing. Now nobody can understand. After looking at the clouds, can anybody know? And all the detailed aspects, how much of benefit it is going to be of. Then with regards to the child also, that is in the mother's womb, it's not only that whether it's going to be male or female. The detailed knowledge, this child, whether there is going to be born or there is going to be miscarriage, this child is going to grow up to be a teacher, doctor, lawyer, philosopher, scientist, or first class dud, whether this child is going to be a blessing for the parents or a pain in the neck for the parents, all the details, how much different sicknesses the child is going to go through, how many years he's going to live, where is going to, all the detailed knowledge only Allah Ta'ala has. Wama tadri nafsum, wama tadri maza taksibu ghada nafsum. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about what the person is going to earn tomorrow. Wa ya'lamu ma fil arham. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَّاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَا. What is going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow, who knows when tomorrow, what we're going to do tomorrow. We don't even know the next second what is going to happen. And which land the person is going to die. Nobody knows. So Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali was told that this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam referred to, that he cannot tell you when you are going to die. That knowledge is with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi, that was his adab. So whosoever has got Iman, then he will have love for Madina Sharif, and he will be desirous of death in Madina Sharif. So therefore therefore Maulana Badr-e Alam Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, عزیزوں کو مجھے ایک راز کی ہے اب خبر کرنا عزیزوں کو مجھے ایک راز کی ہے اب خبر کرنا اگر محفوظ رہنا ہو تو طیبہ میں گزر کرنا اگر محفوظ رہنا ہو تو طیبہ میں گزر کرنا. He says, I want to disclose a secret to my friends. I say to my friends and family members and everyone, I want to give them one secret. Agar mehfooz rehna ho, if you want to be protected from different kinds of fitnas, and especially the fitna of Dajjal, because Dajjal will not be able to enter Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif. So he says, if you want to be protected, to Tayba mein guzar karna, then live in Madina Sharif.
Azizon ko mujhe ek راز کی ہے اب خبر کرنا اگر محفوظ رہنا ہو تو طیبہ میں گزر کرنا جہاں اب پھنسنے والا ہے فتن میں دین و ایمان کے جہاں اب پھنسنے والا ہے فتن میں دین و ایمان کے بہت مشکل ہے مومن کو کہیں باہر بسر کرنا جہاں اب پھنسنے والا ہے فتن میں دین و ایمان کے بہت مشکل ہے مومن کو کہیں باہر بسر کرنا.
The world is going to be caught up with different kinds of fitnas. Fitnas in the deen and the iman of a person. It will come from different directions. بہت مشکل ہے مومن کو کہیں باہر بسر کرنا. Wherever he is going to be outside Madina Sharif, he says it's going to be very, very difficult for him. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself indicated that the time will come when to follow the deen, it will be like holding burning coal in the person's hand. That's how difficult. The fitnas from all sides are going to lash. So therefore Allah Ta'ala also in His mercy, He reduces the obligations to. The faraiz are there, the wajibat are there, the sunnats. But like that, if a person will do 1/10 of what the Sahaba Ikram did, inshallah he will get salvation at such a time. The Sahaba Ikram, if they left out 1/10 in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then they were taken to task. And we in our latter days, because of the fitnas from all sides, if the person, there is some weakness, and even if he practices on 1/10, we are not talking about farz wajib, talking about all other things, where there is a little bit of weakness, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive the person because of the fitnas. So he says, jahan ab phansne wala hai fitan mein deen o ima ke. The whole world is going to be caught up with different kinds of fitnas, and people will use the name of Islam and the name of deen. They will twist the ahadith, they will to justify their actions and deeds. They will twist the meaning of the Quran Sharif. What is left not halal today? Halal music, halal jazz, halal beer, halal, everything is halal. Different kind of label will be put on it. Wine will be given the name of tonic. They say you must drink wine. In countries where it's very, very cold, the doctors prescribe, they say you must drink a lot of wine. It is a tonic, keeps the body warm. Astaghfirullah. So this is what will happen. Justification of our sins. So irrespective of what kind of sin we are indulging and engaging in, the last thing that we must do is to justify it. Find some kind of justification in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah by twisting the meanings of the Quran and the Sunnah. So jahan ab phansne wala hai fitan mein deen o ima ke bahut mushkil hai mu'min ko kahin bahar basar karna. So it will be very, very difficult for a mu'min to survive outside, to protect his deen outside Madina Sharif. Whatever it may be, we know that still up till now, after 1400 years, the security that you find in Madina Sharif, you don't find anywhere in the world. What kind of security, what kind of sukoon, what kind of peace, unless the person himself is not interested. Then even in Madina Sharif, he will be a shaitan. But the person who really wants protection of his deen, then so simple and so easy, from the hotel to the Haram Sharif, from the Haram Sharif to his hotel. What else? And if he wants to do some necessary buying, all the shopping and all the markets are just around. So make ibadat, make zikr, make tilawat, protection of deen. So now I'm not saying that everybody must do that pack up and go away there and finish. The whole world Muslims must just come away there. But Maulana Badri Alam Rahmatullah Alayhi said that the time will come when it is going to open, a period of time just before the Qiyamah. He said, time will come, or before Imam Mahdi is coming, where Makkah, Madina Sharif will be open to anybody that wants to come and settle there. So he said, at that time, don't delay, don't hesitate. If Allah Ta'ala creates the means, make Bismillah and go away, enter there, because it's going to close, the doors are going to close again. And then it will be difficult after that, because the fitnas will start all over the world. So somebody asked me a question that when I mentioned this in some other place, and I will conclude on that. He says, Maulana, if all the Muslims of the world, billion plus Muslims of the world, have to come and settle in Madina Sharif, how will they find place in Madina Sharif? So I responded, I told him, I said, all right, say if tomorrow they announce, tomorrow, if the Saudi government announces, that for the next whole month, we are opening up Madina Sharif for all those who want to leave their countries and settle here permanently. How many people will go and settle? Even if they have to open up and say for the next 1 week, 2 weeks, whosoever, any part of the world wants to come and settle here, then we will give them for the visas and the iqamah and the residential permits and everything. Then see how many people will sell their businesses, sell their homes and rush straight away to Madina Sharif and go and settle. We will still say, I've still got my son getting married, I've still got that other deal to complete, I've still got my examinations to, and I've still got my course at the university, and somebody will say that I've still got my shoes to polish. So everybody will be coming up with excuses. Somebody say, well, my marriage now, well, now, how can we go now, you know, the wrong time they're opening up the doors, because I'm proposed and the nikah is going to take place. So it's not that if they're going to open up, then the whole world is just going to come away there. Ask ourselves, will we be ready straight away if they tell us tomorrow, right, okay, 1 week we give you, anybody wants to come. then will we say, right, let's sell our businesses and pack up and go away. So it's only those in whose muqaddar it is going to be, they will go there. Those who are really desirous and those whose muhabbat was sincere, then they will say, well, whatever happens, I'm going. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the himmat and the courage to obey Him and obey Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. In the latter part of our lives, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must create the conditions that we can settle in Madina Sharif. وہیں جیتا وہیں مرتا وہیں گورو کفن ہوتا کاش مدینہ اب میرا وطن ہوتا. Allah Ta'ala must create that condition where our dafan, our burial takes place. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Inshallah we'll continue with this. It's a very beautiful poetry and lots of nasihat in there. For those who are going to settle there, for them also there's a lot of nasihat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, we're extremely weak servants of yours. Oh my beloved Allah, don't test us, don't question us, don't call us to account. My beloved Allah, put the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our hearts. Put your love into our hearts. Create the conditions for us to settle in Madina Sharif. Ya Allah, we know that we are extremely weak and we will not be able to resist the winds of temptation. My beloved Allah, just as the winds in this world, they blow away the flowers from the trees and bring them down onto the ground. Ya Allah, when the winds of temptation blow, then we get carried away. My beloved Allah, take us to Madina Tayyibah, where the Dajjal will not be able to enter. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the noor of Madina Tayyibah. Ya Allah, bless us with istiqamat on our deen. Bless us with istiqamat on our deen. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Make us yours and become ours. Make us yours and become ours. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Mere maula tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kahan. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. ہمارا بن جا ہمیں اپنا بنا لے. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Those who have gone for Hajj, make their Hajj maqbool and mabrur. Those who are planning to go, make it easy for them to reach. Ya Allah, remove the obstacles from their path. My beloved Allah, bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless our wives, our children, our brothers, our sisters, our family members and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.